a lot of trades, NHL, NBA. I teased this going to the break, Joe, and I figured you'd like this. Maybe you can help explain how these trades might work as the NBA gets nutty on trades.
Uh-huh.
But from Underdog NBA, and according to Fred Katz, who is a senior NBA writer for The Athletic, the Rockets and Suns are working on expanding their Kevin Durant trade.
Okay.
Because is that deal not done yet?
I had never seen it officially announced by either side.
So the Rockets and Suns are working on expanding the Kevin Durant trade into a deal that would include seven teams.
That's unbelievable.
So it's the Rockets and the Suns and the Hawks, Nets, Warriors, Lakers, and Wolves.
Okay. A seven-team trade. Seven other teams? No, that they
a
would
record seven teams.
Okay, so including them. Okay, right. Yeah. Seven.
Rockets, Suns, Hawks, Nets, Warriors, Lakers, Wolves. If you're another team, do you just call up and say, yo, hey, wanna make it eight?
Yeah.
Just throw me in there. I gotta pick.
And eventually just everybody in the league eventually just gets involved in some way, shape, or form.
On a Zoom call with six teams and the Nets GM's like, hang on a second, I'm gonna call the T-Wolves. I gotta get them in on this to bridge this gap.
Yeah.
A seven team trade.
This is where
I need this to happen.
See, you like this. This is where I feel like the NBA they overcomplicate their rules so like to try to prevent super teams. Just they go way too far with it. Like matching salaries, right, and bird rights, and just like there's the first apron, second apron. There's all this crazy whatever. Eligibility for different contracts, and I don't know. It is very hard to keep track of and to know like what the rules actually are. Like, why do they need seven? Probably just to like match up salaries or something. And maybe I'm wrong. Maybe LeBron's going to be in the deal or something. You want LeBron to the Warriors, right? Aren't they both involved in this?
I do want LeBron to the Warriors.
And the Lakers and the Warriors are two of the teams mentioned as being a part of this 17-team trade.
If the Durant trade includes LeBron of the Warriors, then it becomes the LeBron trade, right?
I don't know. Yes. It would be the LeBron-Durant trade, even though they're not being traded for each other.
What is the clubhouse leader for the most blockbuster trade of all time in all sports? What is the biggest?
Gretzky.
That's Gretzky for cash?
Yeah.
I mean, name for name, biggest blockbuster we've ever seen where, I don't know, somebody on the podcast should do one of these. Like, I ran all the numbers. And
yeah,
you know, the most famous people involved in a trade. Biggest name where you're shocked either one of them could be moved. Like a LeBron. We're mentioning Durant in a trade. If LeBron and Durant are in the same trade.
Yeah.
That's the biggest of all time. It's got to be. What's the leader in the clubhouse? I don't have this answer. I'm trying to think of it.
That involves two players.
Yes. Not just the biggest player moved for a bunch of stuff.
That would be bigger than the... It's more name power than the Luka trade.
Sure. I mean,
Luka for
Anthony Davis is pretty big.
But like in terms of... And they're younger, but name power, LeBron over Luka and Durant over Anthony Davis.
Yes.
For sure. I don't know. What is the leader in the clubhouse?
And I don't want... Brett Favre got nobody knew who he was.
You don't want that. You don't want Babe Ruth being sold for cash.
No, I don't want
for the Yankees.
Cash is not a star. I mean, cash is. Pretty
and you
great.
Also don't want like Elway for the first overall, like the draft. You don't want a draft trade.
No, I want the biggest names ever included in the same draft in the same trade on each side. Where it's, I can't even think of who it would be.
Is there a hockey trade that would work for this?
There definitely are going to be some.
I can't think of one, though, that's like both on both sides, you're getting like a superstar.
Right. Like the Lindros trade is huge for the volume going back the other way, but that's a draft pick. All right. Think about this for a minute. Give us a call. 803-0550, 1-888-550-2550. And a fun little Bills note. Benjamin Solak's got a, you know, peak offseason list kind of thing, but it's cool. And it's got two current Bills on it. I'll tell you about that. Two current Bills that are on it and one that is not. Suspiciously. And that's coming up on WGR.
I think Baltimore still has a chance. The thing that I struggle with in Buffalo is when everything's scripted, that team seems to be okay. But when there it comes down to a fourth quarter where you have to, they have to make either an important play or an important decision by the coach, they always seem to dribble down their leg. So to me, Buffalo will always just hit that proverbial ceiling, and they can be the Charles Barkley to the Michael Jordan, unfortunately for Josh Allen.
Shots fired from former Bills GM Doug Whaley on the state of the Bills. Charles Barkley to Michael Jordan. He's saying the coach? He's got to be. Decisions?
Yeah, I think
so. He's saying the coach. He's talking about the coach. And he says, unfortunate for Josh Allen. Like, he's saying the coach.
It has to be.
So yeah. There's Doug Whaley on the Bills.
They worked together for 3 months?
Yep.
4 months? They're in the draft room together in 2017 when they don't pick Mahomes and trade down.
That's right. Anyway, if you want that, it's right there. Ask the question, go to the break. What is the leader in the clubhouse for the biggest, most blockbuster trade in sports history?
Which we got on because Kevin Durant is involved in a 7-team trade.
Yes, yes.
Like the Warriors and whoever. By the way, real quick before we get back to that, did you see Durant's tweet yesterday?
That made me laugh. I did not.
Durant, everyone knows enough about Durant, maybe you don't, that he's like an epic Twitter guy, like fights with everybody, you know, like he's always getting into stuff. And somebody like is like, what's your deal, dude? Like, why do you get to like fight people on Twitter all the time? And he tweeted back at the person, shut up, I'll troll on Twitter till the day I expire. Don't let me distract you, dweeb. And that's gone fire.
Wow.
He is going off on people in the last 24 hours because this trade's not completed yet. But anyways, so you asked that. I think there are going to be definitely bigger trades, obviously, nationally. Isn't the score to beat in Buffalo Turgeon for LaFontaine? Pierre Turgeon for Pat LaFontaine is a number one overall pick.
Yeah.
Who had put a, wasn't there, so I don't know like what the reaction was to that, but Turgeon put up a million points and you traded him for another team's like superstar.
Yeah, it
feels
pretty,
like that's insane.
It's pretty good.
That'd be like trading Dahlin right now for Quinn Hughes.
Yeah, with LaFontaine,
I think
LaFontaine had a 100-point season, 3 seasons. Other than that, over 80 points 4 times.
Turgeon had a 100-point season,
right,
for the Sabres.
So that's a good answer.
But nationally,
the biggest trade ever does not mean Gretzky and a one-sided one team got a big star. I'm talking about two guys cross paths on airplanes. Like, wow, look at this trade.
Mm-hmm.
Got a couple answers here. We got a couple calls on this and a couple texts to get to as well. And I owe you this Benjamin Solek project about the best selection at every single draft pick.
Might make Bills fans, well, never. We'll get to it. They might have a reaction to it.
Couple quick tweets, and then we'll get a call on this about the biggest blockbuster trades. Joe Marino, the Locked On Bills podcast, chimes in with Champ Bailey for Clinton Portis. That's a good one.
It's a really good one.
The Washington and Denver trade, that's not bad. Definitely a worthy mention.
Yep.
Diggs for Jefferson does not apply. That's Diggs for a first. That is not superstars crossing paths. LaFontaine, Turgeon. Eli for Rivers.
Yeah, that's big. But Rivers isn't drafted yet, right? Or is he?
They're both drafted that day.
Okay, so yeah, they already were picked, though.
They were picked. It's a big trade. Of course, it's a blockbuster, but not the same.
That's pretty good. I kind of like the Bailey Portis one.
Yeah.
Those, unless was one of them down at the time? Were they not both like elite at their position?
They were both pretty darn good.
Okay.
Yeah. Here's one I like a lot, and we'll get some calls. Goff for Stafford.
Good one.
That's a pretty good one.
Good one.
Goff had been to a Super Bowl with the Rams. Stafford had done not anything close to that with the Lions, despite being
better.
Probably better.
And putting up, I mean, his career at that point was, this dude is awesome. He just plays for the Lions.
Yeah, and they can't do anything around him. He's a former number one overall pick. Goff for Stafford is a good one here. I like that.
Goff was a little bit down at that point, right? People thought he was a cap dump when he's in that trade.
That's right. He goes to, I mean, he went to the Super Bowl, and then Belichick completely masterclassed him. And the Rams are, we can't win with this guy.
Yeah.
And then he goes on and has a pretty nice career after that.
By the way, I asked, like, was Portis maybe down or something? Like, was there a reason they got traded? The year before Clinton Portis got traded, he put up 1,591 yards, 14 touchdowns on the ground.
He was awesome.
So he was amazing.
He was fun to watch. He was awesome.
Yeah. I think I kind of missed out on him, I think. He's kind of done by the time, 2008, he puts up 1,500 yards, so maybe right at the end. I'm still seeing him at his peak. But, I don't remember him in Denver.
That's back where running backs putting up 1,500 was kind of normal. Like, more guys used to do it.
And isn't he, he's one of these guys that goes beyond, he goes back to, isn't he insane at Miami?
Yes.
Maybe I'm thinking about those Miami teams, really, is the thing that I, those, that group of Miami players, Ed Reed, Ray Lewis, they're nearing the end, I feel like, when I'm starting to finally get into all of those guys.
Yeah. Ron and Alden is up. Hey, Ron, good morning.
Morgan, I got two for you, one for the Sabres and one for a big major one. I think Herschel Walker for Jesse Salomon and Isaac Cole might be one of the big ones because there were names at the time, big names. Now, obviously, all those graphics were included also. But the number one Sabre trade of all time has to go back to the Danny Gare trade for Mike Foligno. Danny Gare, Jim Schoenfeld, and Derek Smith for Delmacorte, Mike Foligno, Brent Peterson, and someone else I'm missing. But that's probably the biggest trade because both those are Danny Gare was a 50-goal scorer back-to-back. And then he got traded the following year.
Yeah.
And then Delmacorte was the major player comeback. And Mike Foligno became really good. So those are just my thoughts. Thanks.
Thanks, Ron. Yeah, I don't know that, the Herschel Walker trade is a very famous big trade. I don't know those names you're mentioning, Isaac Holton, Jesse Salomon, to be guys in the league. And maybe they were. You know how many pieces were on the Herschel Walker trade? People know it to be a big trade.
I just knew there were a lot of stuff, a lot of picks, right?
Throw a number out there. How many pieces were on the Herschel Walker trade?
Eight.
18.
18?
18 pieces
on
in
both
this
sides
trade.
Combined,
yes.
I'm sure.
Yeah. Yes. And I also learned today that the Chargers were involved in that trade. I did not know that.
To what degree?
They got a running back out of it.
Okay. Ooh. That just made me think of, for this, three-way trade where who gets who? Eric Dickerson goes somewhere. Cornelius Bennett comes to the Bills, and maybe there's another player involved.
Greg Bell.
Bennett, Greg Bell.
Yeah.
So Dickerson is definitely, by name stature, well above the others, but those were big-name players. I think Bennett even was a little bit before he got to the Bills, right?
Yeah.
He mentions that we're going way back into Sabre history. How about the Sabres making trades like this back in the day, not being afraid to make it? They traded. Gare was a 50-goal scorer. Schoenfeld was the captain and, one of their top defensemen, and then Derek Smith, who had put up 65 points the year before. They traded all three of them in the same deal. Again, for a modern comparison, is that trading Dahlin,
Tage,
and Benson all in the same deal?
Yeah.
And they got a lot back, I think.
18 pieces in that Walker trade.
18 pieces?
Yeah. Including the Cowboys' 10th overall pick, which I did not realize that was something in Entdale. Whatever.
And they got that one, though, that doesn't work for this because
no,
there's only the one big name. You can't throw Troy Aikman and the picks become after the fact into the deal. You didn't know what that was going to be at the time.
Right. That's
Michael Irvin maybe
a monster
in that trade.
But the most name power involved in a single trade.
Right. That one doesn't work for me because it's only one. It's Herschel Walker. It's a huge trade, but that's not the most star power that I can get my hands on.
Rich in Naples. Hey, Rich, good morning.
Good morning, guys. So you got me on the Bennett one. I actually went to the first game after they traded for Bennett, and it was one series, and they started double-teaming him. It was hilarious because it was great to watch. Mm-hmm. Anyways, real quick, I know the rumor is now, Calgary's involved with this. What would we – anybody want to speculate and see what we're actually after there? Is there somebody we're after? And who would that be? And if we're going to speculate, let's figure out what that trade could be and help them out.
I've seen
who would it be?
Thanks, Rich. I've seen – all right, Bo Byram in Calgary. What I've seen is, and this is generally how trades go. If you're on the internet, if you're on Twitter and following people talking trades, how eager is a fan base to get rid of the player versus no, you can't have that player? And the more I don't want to trade that guy away, then obviously the better the return. A great example of this law of we need a name on this, someone that coined this, Murphy's Law. This is so-and-so's law. If the player has been traded 100 times in the offseason by all of the fans, it's not that good of a trade. Epenesa's Law. This is
Epenesa's Law.
AJ Epenesa has been traded 600 times this offseason on the airwaves in this station to get another player. Epenesa's Law.
Epenesa's Law.
So the one name I see the most in Calgary is Connor Zeri.
I see that a lot, too.
Connor Zeri is a 23-year-old center.
He's an RFA.
He's an RFA. He had 27 points last year. I see his name a lot as, like, who would the Sabres want back? That's a guy they would want back.
27 points last year.
Yeah.
Yikes. Right.
What do you want? I'm just telling you.
No, I know. Yeah.
Just, what other names? Is Rasmus Anderson a name here? You're seeing it all?
No, he's a defenseman that has 1 year left in his contract, and he has, I don't think he has said it. It's been reported he will only sign with Vegas.
Okay. So here's, okay, fine.
That's tough.
Here's a great example then of Rasmus Anderson. If Anderson won't sign with the Flames and they want to get rid of him and they want Byram and they want to go one for one, is he a good defenseman?
He's a good defenseman.
Okay.
He's a good defenseman.
He's a good idea for the Sabres?
He's a good defenseman. He's a better player than Byram is.
Here's a great little, you pick. Kevin Adams doesn't want futures. He wants now. Okay.
Yeah.
Rasmus Anderson for a year. No, that's not long enough of a now. Which is it? I can get an offer sheet and get a first-round pick and a second-round pick and a third-round pick and help my future, or I could turn Byram into what I think would be an upgrade at defense. I would get even better, and I would make the playoffs. If I told you right now they traded Bo Byram for nothing more than the eighth playoff spot, would you take it? And the player that they got back that helped them get over the line is not going to resign. What percentage of Sabres fans would say, deal?
This is a much watered-down version of when we asked how much we would trade for 1 year of McDavid a couple of weeks ago.
Sure.
Yeah.
The Flames say you can have Anderson one for one because he's not going to resign with us, and the Sabres would know he's not going to resign with us either. We're going to try and make the playoffs. Rasmus Anderson and Connor Zeri. There you go. Done? I get one piece I can extend and one piece I'm using for 1 year. You don't want futures? You got to be willing to take a guy for 1 year.
It is... I feel like that's the type of idea I'm at a point where I'm just like, just do it.
Of course you should
Fine.
Do it.
Just do it. Like, future be damned. You got prospects. You know, Byram is, I'm really going to be worried about losing out on, if what's out there for him right now is like some team's fifth best prospect and a late first round pick. Like, how much am I really missing out on for the future? You know, like, sure, I lose this guy for nothing, but what are the odds that the one season of a better defenseman are actually going to, in the long run, be more value than a whole career of the late first-round pick? You might hear that and think, oh, the whole career of the late first-round pick is going to be more valuable. But I almost want to guarantee you that doesn't happen as often as you think it does. That there would be a lot of instances where the whole career, the totality of that player that you might get at, like, let's say it's like 22nd mm-hmm. overall, that whole career might not actually give you as much worth as the 1 year of, in this case, which would be like, he would be your top pair defenseman.
I want to have a metaphor here about what the Sabres should do. They need to pay more. Adams yesterday said, how do you change all this? We got to win hockey games. You got to win hockey games. And that is often aligned with getting good players, long-term contracts, signing up, sustained success. That's actually not what they need right now. If they need to win hockey games, that means you need to do whatever you can to win hockey games. Make the playoffs. Start to change anybody's idea of what it's like to be here. Imagine Rasmus Anderson comes here and he's the finishing piece, Luukkonen rebounds, whatever. It just goes well. It doesn't have to be this one player. The idea is... Sure. The metaphor I'm going for is you are paying an initiation fee at a country club.
Mm-hmm.
You have a one-time payment to get into the club.
Yeah.
You made the playoffs. And now you got to pay your dues every year and continue to get there and continue to get there. But to finally cross that threshold,
yeah,
to be a playoff team, you cannot do it without, probably as the Buffalo Sabres, you cannot do it without saying, we're going to just pay more, do more, whatever it takes to be members of the club. Because right now you are not. And you were never going to get there with all these modest moves, modest trades. Well, right. That doesn't fit our timeline. Well, you know, I'm not going to do something. I'm not going to take futures. Okay, you can't take futures. Great. If you can't take futures, can you take one season right now, guys? Because you should.
Yeah. You know what it would really be like? It's like, as everyone gets ready for their bonfires this weekend, it would be like the kindling to the fire that you can't get started. You keep trying to spark this thing, and you can't. And guess what? Throw a piece of, this is your piece of cardboard on it. Light up the cardboard. It's going to burn out in 8 seconds, but you might be left with a fire at the end of it that, like,
yeah,
you can actually add to.
Well, I wasn't able to extend the cardboard, Joe.
Right.
Great. You got something going.
Right.
Jerry and Kenmore. Hey, Jerry, what's up?
I'm going to go really old school here. In the mid-70s, the Boston Bruins and the New York Rangers made a trade. Phil Esposito, who I still believe is like 6th all-time in goals, and Carol Vadnais to the Rangers for Brad Park and Jean Rattel, who are both Hall of Famers.
Okay. You know, thanks, Jerry. You know what I'm realizing here is the NHL back in the day was a lot more fun.
Like the NBA?
You had these all the time. Someone else just tweeted in, the Sabres have another one of these. Right after they traded, they did the Turgeon for LaFontaine trade, they traded Dave Andrechuk, Darren Poop on a first-round pick for Grant Fuhr, who was what at that point? A 5-time winning Stanley Cup goaltender? Not saying that worked, but how about name power at that point? You traded an amazing scorer off your top line for, was Grant Fuhr like the most famous goaltender in the league at that point? He probably was, wasn't he?
Yeah, up there.
And those deals just happened all the time in the 70s, 80s, and 90s. Someone yelling into the radio right now. It's because they didn't have no trade clauses.
Yeah. That's going to be a part of it. 803-0550. We did talk.
Have we landed on an answer for what we think the score to beat is, by the way? We have a lot of good nominees. What's the best one, though?
I think the best answer for biggest name trade in the clubhouse, it's not the Lindros trade. Sorry, it's not the Lindros trade. Lindros was number one in Forsberg. These guys were not huge established stars at the time. It's not the Lindros trade.
Did we mention this on the air? Was it before? The Subban for Shea Weber trade?
That's a good one. Steve Francis for Tracy McGrady?
Ooh, that's pretty good.
Luka and Anthony Davis for sure. I like Goff for Stafford a lot.
Yeah.
Kiko Alonso for McCoy is a Bills one that's pretty good for names.
That's not
Alfonso
bad.
Soriano for Alex Rodriguez. Huberto for Tkachuk is a really good one.
Was A-Rod traded for
Alfonso Soriano?
Yeah, that was the one you just mentioned, right? Yeah. That's pretty good, too. A lot of these I feel like are on the same level.
Yeah.
You never get, like, the genesis of this was, what if LeBron was in the Durant trade?
Right.
None of this is that, right? The stars of the league, like, the best players in the sport. You know,
have we mentioned Weber Subban?
We just did for
that's
a second
okay,
there.
That's what I thought. That one was interesting, but it never, like, those two guys were elite, but not at that level.
No, you're right. Not on the level of LeBron and Durant are like the two biggest names in the sport. What right. is that? That's McDavid for Crosby, isn't it?
Yeah.
Maybe not McDavid, but Crosby for Ovechkin.
Mm-hmm.
That's Crosby for Ovechkin in the same trade, isn't it?
That's exactly what
yeah,
that is.
Yeah.
That level. I don't see one of these from our not like these are all really good players. These are Hall of Famers. These are stars, but none of these are the two biggest names in your sport, or two of the three, four biggest names: Durant, Curry. I'm not going to nitpick.
Trades involve Hall of Fame players traded for each other. I got a list on that one now.
Okay,
but again, a lot of that's going to be they were not yet Hall of Famers,
right?
Like again, you can't be a
River, Rivers and Eli if they both make the Hall of Fame. Like they didn't play a snap yet.
Kobe Bryant for Vlade Divac. Like at the time, looking back, that's massive. But at the time, it's a trade.
Also, I'm inclined not to count any of those draft day NBA trades because of the we know we're trading. I mean, we tell you who they're going to pick and whoever Dirk Nowitzki puts on a Milwaukee Bucks hat, knowing that he's already on the Mavericks. Like that, all that. The NBA draft, all NBA trade stuff is way overcomplicated. Just simplify it.
803-0550, our phone number. Jeremy and Joe on a beautiful Thursday, headed to a weekend, looking for the biggest trade involving both sides had superstars. Another text, the Gretzky trade. I get, Cash is a big star.
It's Cash, and there were players that went back, right? But nobody that was near Gretzky name power that I can remember. Jari Kurri goes back to L.A., doesn't he?
It's Gretzky, Marty McSorley, and another guy for Jimmy Carson, Martin Jelena, 3 firsts and $15 million in cash.
Yeah, no offense to those two players, but, like, come on. They're not kidding.
I guess the point would be here, it can't be a trade that has 10 pieces because then you know that everybody in that trade is that much short of the other guy.
Right.
Exactly. So it's almost like I want to ask, what's the biggest one for one trade in history? That's kind of what this is.
Yeah.
Kind of has to be one for one. Because if we have two sides of a trade and one side of the trade includes $15 million and 3 firsts,
uh-huh.
I feel like that's the side that's getting the
$15 million in 1980.
Yeah.
Six or
and
whatever.
3 first-round picks. Like, yeah, that's the team that's getting the better piece.
Yeah.
803-0550. Fun combo, though. You can jump in if you want. Got a couple callers on hold on this. And does anybody else want to sign up for that rental idea? Come on.
The rental idea. You know you're only getting 1 year of the guy for Byram.
Yep. 803-0550. If you make your hockey team better for 1 year, would you trade Bo Byram for a playoff berth and nothing else? Yes. Who would say no?
Everybody would say yes.
I know
to
it's impossible to kind of guarantee that this one move you get is going to get that, but
sure.
You should definitely be looking to go ahead and acquire a player you will not extend. If you think you're a first-class organization, just go ahead and act like one. Have him here. Yep. When he leaves, treat him with class, and that's your next stage if you're the Sabres.
And maybe you'll get lucky and make the playoffs, and the guy will be like, actually, you know what?
I like
maybe
it.
I will stay here.
Or if you don't make the playoffs and you're out of it, you trade him at the deadline. And then you recoup the cost that way.
Yeah.
803-0550, our number. Jeremy and Joe on WGR. Time to announce the winner of the Friday foursome. It's Thursday, but we won't be here tomorrow. We're off. We still have to announce winners. We still have to give out prizes. Our Friday foursome winner, congratulations to Stephen W. from West Seneca. For winning this week's Encore Golf Friday foursome, you've scored an 18-hole round of golf at Seneca Hickory Stick Golf Course, a $25 Encore Golf gift card, and a dozen Encore Golf balls. You can still enter the Encore Golf Friday foursome contest at WGR550.com. Go to WGR550.com to enter to get your chance to win.
Is this still Steely Dan?
No.
This is not Steely Dan.
This is Kenny Loggins. Yeah.
That's very different, right? That's Danger Zone guy.
Danger Zone, Footloose. No. Yeah,
that's okay. Kenny Loggins. What's the name of that song? I'm All Right?
I'm All Right, yeah.
It's the Caddyshack song. Everybody knows it's the Caddyshack song.
Only seen Caddyshack on a plane to Dublin, and I think I fell asleep at the end. So I think I can say I've watched it.
I'm ready to give you a take on Caddyshack.
On Caddyshack?
Yeah. Caddyshack is more really about a series of moments and bits than it is an actual full story.
A series of moments and bits. Isn't that what a comedy movie is?
Yeah, that's right. But
I guess what's the plot of Caddyshack? The plot is that Bill Murray is trying to kill a gopher.
That's like a side plot. That's a side quest.
That's a side plot.
It's a side quest. Chevy Chase is in it. He's main characterish. Roddy Dane. It's a series of side quests. I'm not saying it's bad. I'm saying, you know, you don't watch Caddyshack for the story.
If I were to watch it
for the scenes.
The plot of Caddyshack tells the story of a caddy vying for a caddy scholarship. It becomes involved in a feud on the links between one of the country club's founders and a nouveau rich guest.
Yeah, that's Rodney Dangerfield, and the other founder is Judge Schmales.
Right. So it's about a caddy trying to get a scholarship.
Right.
You're right. That's not much of a plot.
That's fine.
Subplot involves a greenskeeper who uses extreme methods against an elusive gopher.
Yes. I want to say that the movie, one way to say it is Caddyshack is way more about the subplots than the plot. That's the way to say it.
Okay.
I didn't come in today thinking I was going to give you a take on Caddyshack. Here we are.
Yeah.
803-0550. Talking big trades, kind of honed it down to the biggest ever one for one trade. That's really the way to do this.
Yeah. That, by the way, that Bennett trade I mentioned with Dickerson and then Greg Bell, Bennett had never played. Not yet. He had been drafted second overall, though.
Yeah, it's pretty big.
So he was a pretty the name power should have been there by then, at least with the draft pick, before he's dealt. So that one was pretty good, too.
On Byram, we talked about it a little bit here, and I'm just kind of – we had a caller ask why Calgary, and Rasmus Anderson's a name I've seen mentioned. The thing I'm kind of –
He's from Western Canada too, so like the player would want to be there.
He says he wants to go sign in Vegas. He's got 1 year left on his deal, much like Byram has a year and does. I don't know. Maybe he won't extend here, or maybe he would in the right scenario.
Right, like what Calgary might see value in, because like whenever we talked about the Pettersson idea and Byram was in that, it was always a little weird because Byram wants a role. He wants a power play role. He wants to be a top defenseman. Vancouver has Quinn Hughes. A lot of teams have guys, right? If he goes to Calgary, Calgary doesn't really have like a franchise cornerstone defenseman. I think Mackenzie Weegar is awesome, but there would be a role there. Like there would be more of an opening there for him to put up monster points.
But to me, the crux of the point we just kind of got to was trade Byram and something for a player that you know won't resign. Do not be afraid of a player that won't resign, because you have to get in. And it's off-season number six if you're Kevin Adams. You don't want futures? That's great. A lot of people don't want futures.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not going to sit here and worry about if the return on Byram is going to last for 4 years on my third line. What I needed to do is get them to the playoffs. Either Byram's on the team and you make the playoffs somehow, or the trade, you feel like you won the trade, but Calgary has an extension in place. They get this player for a long time. You get a guy, maybe it's Rasmus Anderson and another player, and Anderson's going to be gone in a year. We know that, but we don't care. It really is Kawhi Leonard. You need the Kawhi trade, but you're not trying to win the title. You're just trying to actually have a competitive team. So I wonder if the Sabres would be open to that or gun-shy about, well, we don't want another guy to leave again.
Well, I mean, once that is, they're afraid of that. They act afraid of that, right?
Put it this way. In this case, knowing a guy doesn't want to extend when he gets here, that's not about you. Doesn't have to be about you.
Right, that's right.
With Anderson, the story is he only wants to sign in Vegas. Okay,
and everybody already knows that.
Everybody knows that.
Yeah.
Okay, it's not about us. He doesn't want to sign for anybody. Great. Then it doesn't even make us look bad. As opposed to you trade for a guy like Byram, and in what, a year and a half, you're talking about how, well, he might want to be somewhere else.
And
you even experience this drafting kids. You can draft a guy and he wants to go somewhere else.
And when is the last time they've made a trade like this? Guy's got 1 year before he can walk. That isn't like you trade for Dinan Zubris at the deadline.
No.
Where you know, like, you got 2 months and he's a rental.
We were going back in...
No, they did. They've done it once.
Zucker? No, Zucker wasn't a trade. It was free agency. Who was it?
Skinner.
And he signed
Skinner
for 9 years.
That's right. They traded for Skinner.
Eight years.
They didn't know if he was going to stay right up to the end of the season, which is maybe part of the reason why they didn't have to give up much to get him. But he did, right? He stayed.
You traded for him. He scored 40 goals.
And really, that didn't go that poorly. There were two really bad years in the middle, and it was just because of the coach.
And the coach is a big part of that. Skinner, right. He extended. You paid him a lot to extend, but...
But even imagine... He hadn't extended. Say he left. Skinner left. He got $9 million elsewhere.
You wouldn't care.
What's more valuable? Cliff Poo, a second, a third, and a sixth, or one 40-goal season from a player to try to make the playoffs? Now, they didn't make the playoffs.
No, that's right.
But give me the 40-goal season. What gives me a better chance? Like, there's more value to me in that than the compile the odds of those three picks, and I think I'd take the 40-goal season every time.
And we were talking ancient history when the Sabres signed Ehrhoff. Think about that. They traded for his rights.
Yeah.
You don't know that guy's going to sign. They traded they traded a third for Jimmy Vesey's rights. when everybody had been told Jimmy Vesey's not going to sign with anybody.
Right.
They traded a third for his rights.
They did it anyway.
And they didn't sign him.
Right.
He never played a game.
Well, he did eventually.
He came back.
Like years later.
Yes, but you traded a third-round pick for the chance to sign a guy, and it never happened. Here's NBA note on this. Matt writes in, it's not the same, and it's difficult to compare sports, but the Cavs took a swing on Donovan Mitchell.
Yes, they did.
They didn't know how it's going to go.
Yep.
They didn't know if he was going to re-sign in a couple of years. They gave up promising assets to do it. He did end up staying.
He did. You know why they? You know why that happened? Because they won.
Yeah.
They got good. When they trade for him, I'll pull up their seasons, but if I remember right, they were not in good shape. Like, they were, that is, post-LeBron, and they had, let's see, when they acquire him, they had lost in the first round the year before and had missed the playoffs the previous four seasons. So, four missed playoff seasons and then lost in the first round. And they trade for him, and since then, they've made the second round in back-to-back years, and he stayed. And the team was amazing in the regular season.
Yeah.
Like, they proved it to him. Like, you come here, and we're going to figure it out. And then he came, unsigned, and they figured it out, and he's like, okay, no, this turned into something pretty good, which would be the equivalent of, right, Anderson or some other player that you would get for Byram that's 1 year left. They come here, and, oh, look, we made the playoffs. Okay, I'll sign for another 4 years. You got to make it, but even in Skinner's case, Sabres didn't make the playoffs and he still decided to stay. You can still overpay the guy if you really, really want to try to keep him.
803-0550. One thing on Byram pointed out in the chat, Andrew writes in, it's not that Byram doesn't want to be here. He just wants a bigger role. I can accept that. I'll just, for a brief moment, put on my cynic's hat and be like, that would be a really polite way to say you don't want to be here. It's much more polite.
Yeah.
The Sabres offering him. He also might want a bigger role because he thinks he can get a bigger contract.
That's 100%.
And the Sabres are offering 100% $7 million. He thinks, I'm an $11 million player.
He has hit his ceiling, I think, on what he can earn as a contract here.
Right. And
the points. I mean, he put up 38 points last year. He was, I think, 14th in the league amongst all defensemen in even strength points. So that's your limit. He's not going to be, what is he going to be, fifth, third in the league in even strength points? Unless you're going to do that.
Yeah.
How many power play points did he have last year?
None.
0 goals, 2 assists. If you want to put up 50, 60 points and earn the money, you cannot do that here unless Dahlin or Power get hurt.
Yeah.
And then we saw how that looked. It went really poorly.
803-0550. We'll get a call in on the other side. Pick of the week. I also have a post-Paterka question to ask about that trade. We'll get to. Leafs guest at 9 o'clock, hanging out on a beautiful Thursday here on WGR.
Where is the fastest, easiest path to the NBA Finals for LeBron James? It's the place he has avoided his entire career. That's right, everybody. It's right here in New York.
Oh, boy.
I want to see. I dare him. I double dog dare him. If you really, really believe in all the words you're saying right there, the one place that you know you could go, all you have to do is say it. Sing it if you want, like Sinatra. New York, New York. If he does that, that's a gigantic narrative that you know he loves. They all love that. Like, they love being part of the story. And it's a place that you could say, if he comes here, there is a path to the NBA Finals.
Who's that? That's someone daring LeBron to go to the Knicks?
Alan Hahn.
Okay.
Double dog
dare. A double dog dare you to go to the Knicks. I double dog dare Nikolaj Ehlers to sign with the Sabres. I mean, LeBron to the Knicks, it could happen. It would be juicy.
I would love him to go to the East. The East is easy. The Knicks and the Cavs are right now like co-favorites. I mean, he's right about that. It would be the easiest path to the NBA Finals. Easily. There's no good players in the East. No top level players, at least.
Yeah, you could like.
He is not leaving LA.
Wouldn't he have to get Bronny traded with him? Not snark.
No, I mean.
Would he say Bronny's got to come too?
Maybe. Hey, the Knicks need a coach.
They had Mike Brown.
Oh, they just hired him, right?
Yeah.
Or just offered him the job? Yeah, he needs Bronny with him, but. All his production company stuff and
yeah, Mike Brown, former LeBron coach, who won Coach of the Year when LeBron won MVP in Cleveland, one of those years. Mike Brown
years ago. Did you see they had interviewed or did they actually interview? Did they request an interview Dawn Staley?
I did not see that.
They were gonna interview Dawn. I think they did. They interviewed Dawn Staley to be the head coach. They did not go that direction.
She wins a lot.
She does.
Yep.
Time for the pick of the week. It's brought to you by Riverfront Auto Sales. I'm trying to think of a good pick of the week here. We just pointed out like Wimbledon, Tour de France.
Jeremy looked up the John Deere Classic. It's pretty tough field.
Yeah. Yeah, the John Deere Classic is, if you want to get your first PGA Tour win, you might have a good look.
I think I'm a few. You know what? I might check in on the Club World Cup this weekend.
Yeah.
Because now we're at a point where it's the big clubs playing the big clubs. Like, Saturday at 12, PSG and Bayern. Saturday at 4, Real Madrid and Dortmund. Like,
okay.
All right. You give me the big European clubs, and they're playing all their guys. And
are they playing their guys for this?
Maybe not every team is. I know Manchester City was, and maybe like Juventus was. I have no idea if like
City
Bayern
played their guys, and they lost to Al Hilal. Like, is City fully cooked?
They are totally cooked. So yeah.
All right, my pick of the week is going to be Silverstone, the F1 race. It's not a bad one. It's a good race.
Okay.
The John Deere Classic.
Did you
see? It's going to be Love Island. Can I hold out any longer and not watch Love Island? Everybody in the world is always talking about Love Island, and I'm not watching it. I'm not above bad reality TV, but
yeah,
I feel like I can't avoid Love Island any longer. Anyway,
it's in your face on Twitter everywhere. Yeah.
Pick of the week brought to you by Riverfront Auto Sales. Cruise into summer in style with a black-on-black 1994 Chevy Corvette convertible. Classic car here. Classic American muscle. Sleek lines. Top-down freedom at an unbeatable price. Don't miss out. It won't last long. The pick of the week is a 94 Chevy Corvette convertible. Get to RiverfrontAutoSales.com. Call 886-1626 or 1379 Niagara Street.
Very quickly on F1. Did you see Max Verstappen and Mercedes are talking?
I have seen that. When you said very quickly on F1, I thought you were going to ask me about the movie, which I'm told is good.
Really?
Racing movies are good. What's a bad racing movie? Cars? Great.
Uh-huh.
Rush? Great. Days of Thunder?
Talladega Nights.
Where's the bad racing movie? They put loud race cars on a track and they go, vroom, vroom, vroom,
what
and
was,
you're happy.
What was the one with Lindsay Lohan and the punch bug?
Herbie. I've only seen the originals. I never saw the remake. And the original Herbie.
Herbie
the Love Bug is great.
You know, there are two race movies I've seen in the last year that I had no expectation of.
And they were good?
Gran Turismo was actually awesome. And this was a couple years ago. Ford versus Ferrari is one of my favorite movies ever.
It's awesome.
And I didn't expect that when I went into it.
That is a great movie. Have you seen Rush?
I have not seen Rush.
Rush is great.
Rush is with Thor in it, right?
Yeah, yeah.
The guy from Thor.
Niki Lauda and James... blanking on that. Racing movies are good. There you go. My pick of the week is F1.
F1, the racing movie.
Yeah.
With Brad Pitt.
Sure.
All right.
I bet it's awesome. I don't know if I'll see it, but I hope to. Someday. Ever. Break time, 803-0550, 1-888-550. Gone in 60 seconds. My wife texted that one in. That's a heist movie, but they race.
I'm looking at a list of the top racing movies ever. Is Seabiscuit a racing movie?
It's a horse race. Yeah, they race.
All right.
Is Seabiscuit a racing movie?
No, right, it is.
It's about a race.
Not in the same way.
It's about a series of races.
That's right. Okay, fair.
But if you're asking, does it apply to my all racing movies are good? Probably not. I meant car racing movies.
All car
racing movies are good.
Okay.
Fast and the Furious? They made like 20.
Which one? I mean, right.
They made 20. That's how good they were.
You're telling me the 17th one was still good?
I don't know. I just read a
story. Don't they go to the moon?
I didn't read. I saw a story yesterday that The Rock and Vin Diesel are feuding.
Of course. I think they've been feuding for years.
Okay. Well,
yeah, about that.
I'm not keeping up on that. You put fast cars in a movie, it's going to do well. Period. Lightning McQueen said that famously. 803-0550, our phone number, Jeremy and Joe on WGR.